You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's July 30th, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? You're good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Welcome home. You were out of town for a while.
That's right. Yeah. And that was a big, that was a big episode to miss, you know, last week, everything that was going on. So how did Corey do?
He did fine. I don't think he made anybody mad.
yeah. He didn't say anything insane this time. Or, well, I'm sure he did, but not, you know. Like the good, fun type of insane, not the like, what the hell was that?
not talking about butt sex right before he brings a congressional candidate on.
Yeah, but yeah.
Speaking of time, we had a congressional candidate on. One of my podcasts popped up my feed today, where the guest was J.D. Shulton, who we've had on our show before at least once, maybe a few times, but back when he was running for Congress in Iowa and against Steve King, the Nazi. And he's a state rep now, but it was on. You should guys go listen to it. It's a great interview with Pablo Torre finds out. But he's 44 years old, and he just got called back up to play minor league baseball in Sioux City, Iowa. He's in the middle of he's volunteered at a music festival, two beers in, like, hey, can you pitch tonight? And he went and won the game, and now he's just on the roster as a guy in his mid-40s playing baseball as a state legislator.
Dude.
And it's just
Kevin Costner movie, dude. Something like that.
They brought that up. Kevin Costner actually narrated one of his campaign ads back in the day. He narrowly lost to Steve King. Anyway, he's like I'm a big fan of JD, man. He's like he's the cool JD, and as a platonic ideal of a politician to me, because he doesn't like politics or want power. He just wants to help his neighbors and play baseball. And I'm like,
yeah,
can everybody do that?
That's always been kind of the problem. The inherent problem of politics is that a lot of time, not universally, but a lot of times, like the people that want to do that job are absolutely not the people who should be doing it. It's like it almost feels like if we could like force, I'm pretty sure at least in some, it's some during some time frames in ancient Greece and their democracy, like you could just be like elected to one of their positions or whatever, like whether you even wanted to or not, and then you just had to do it because, you know, back then I don't know, they'd probably throw you in a pit or something if you said no. But like, you know, something like that might work. We should press good people into political service.
Yeah.
Draft. Just give it a shot.
Every town has to draft a guy. We mentioned what today's show is about. Today's show is going to be about the message of these guys are weird and why I think it's working. And basically, getting losers, we're going bullying is the fucking theme of tonight's show.
Yeah.
So, before we get to that, I want to talk about the Olympics for a minute, because I know you've been watching, as have I.
Yeah.
There was a wingnut kerfuffle over the opening ceremony over the weekend, which I don't think anybody could have missed. Like, Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted this, this Bible verse from Revelation. It looked, and behold, a pale horse, his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Do you want to guess what she was reacting to, Trey?
It was this weird robot French shit they were doing in the opening ceremony, right? Yeah.
It was this robot horse.
Look at that. That's pretty rad.
That's awesome.
It's a robot horse. Of course, it's kind of like chromey or whatever. It's not a pale horse.
Yeah, it's not white at all. It's fucking, but like they, so they're also reacting to like, there's a, you know, opening ceremonies are long and they're not for me because they're campy theater shit. It's not really my bag.
Well, again, especially, dude, it's in France. Like everybody got, so it's like, it did a bunch of like real artsy, weird, campy shit, like you said. And, you know, the right wing lost their minds because they misinterpreted a big chunk of it. Imagine that. But yeah, it's just like, what'd you think France was going to do? You know, like,
well, they had like a musical theater number where a bunch of drag queens ended up sitting at a dinner table and like they freaked out because they thought they were making fun of the Last Supper. Okay.
Right.
One, they weren't doing the Last Supper. They're doing the Feast of Dionysus because the Olympics are, you know, Greek.
Yes.
But beyond that, the Last Supper isn't a fucking photograph.
Right.
It's a painting by a guy done, you know, 1,500 years later or whatever.
Right.
And by a guy who was extremely gay.
Right. there was a lot of that back then. It was like, you know, he was a Renaissance master. You know what I'm saying? Sure he partied pretty hard, I would imagine.
There was like a heavy metal band playing where like a woman, like it was like a Marie Antoinette figure, like it was like a mannequin or whatever, holding a person's head who was singing to the song. And they're like, oh, this is satanic. Like they hadn't heard of Marie Antoinette and this is France. It was also fucking weird. Like this stuff doesn't like, again, it's not for me, but like what Elon was talking about how immoral it was and how satanic it was. His Twitter picture is him in Baphomet armor at a Halloween party. What the fuck are any of you guys doing here? Both Mike Lee and Katie Britt, Republican senators, demanded Kamala Harris denounce the opening ceremony. What does a presidential candidate in the United States have to do with a song and dance number in Paris?
Right. It's also like, to me, it feels like, you know, you would think since they're like the ultimate Uber patriots that they'd be real into like supporting Team USA, hoping the U.S. whips everybody's ass at every Olympic event. You'd think that they would be into that. And even if the host country does some shit you don't like, that don't really have nothing to do with the U.S. athletic representatives over there. So you're just like being, you know, anti-patriotic in favor of just hating France for being super queer or whatever.
Right. Like,
priorities seem a little messed up, you know. But I know they're coming after some of the Olympic athletes, too. Nobody's
safe. Yeah. They hate they hate Simone Biles. They were going after Ilhan Omar, who we'll get to in a second. But like I don't even know, like they want the United U.S. to pull back its Olympic delegation because France's opening ceremony was a bit gay or whatever.
Right.
And like it's like the only time you pull out of the Olympics is like because of like illegal wars or war crimes or whatever. Like when the Soviet Union was banned from, or when we boycotted the Moscow Olympics in 1980 or whenever, which sucks for the athletes because you didn't do anything. You trained your whole life to try to get a gold medal and you miss your whole opportunity because a country you don't even live in invades another country. But I understand why people make that sort of statement, but they want us to do that over a drag queen.
They also have, they've got like a refugee Olympic squad, right? Like there's a, you know, like countries have their squads, and then there's also a squad of refugee athletes from various countries who are, you know, like political refugees or whatnot. And it's like, I wonder if they want them rounded up. You know what I mean? It's like, they should have let them in, put them back in the boat, send them out to sea. You know, it seems like there's a lot they'd be mad about.
But their politics, and we're going to be talking about tonight, is other than people like us making fun of that, I think everyone's sort of exhausted by all this bullshit, and these people seem to have, like, infuse their politics into everything to such a degree they can't enjoy anything. Like they're rooting against Simone Biles, they're rooting against USA basketball because LeBron's on there. They somehow got mad at Ilhan Omar, and we were texting about Ilhan Omar over the weekend because Lord, sweet God, she rules. She plays for the U.S. women's rugby team, and she's somewhere in the neighborhood of Derrick Henry and Barry Sanders combined.
Yeah, I don't ever watch rugby. I just turned on the Olympics, and it happened to be the U.S. women's rugby team playing against Brazil. And so I just left it on, and I got really into it very quickly, primarily because she was just running roughshod over everybody. Brazil didn't have nothing for her ass, dude. She was just absolutely dominating. And I was texting you guys about it. I was like, y'all need to see this. This is fucking wild. And we were like sharing clips and all this stuff. And apparently that didn't hit for people that an American athlete dominated in that fashion because
they got all up on her social media feeds and started saying she was trans.
Right. Yeah, just because a woman's kicking ass. And they're like, she can't be a real woman then. And yeah, which she is. And she got really upset about it. It made me sad.
Yeah, she would like post a video crying about it. Like about, you know, it's, she does influencer stuff to talk about. Because like, she's athletic, but like her BMI doesn't work. She was talking about how body types and whatever. And so she does that kind of stuff. And then she's posted a video today crying about how women can look all kinds of ways. And yes, have broad shoulders. And also like, she's pretty, so I don't even know what to say. What the fuck? Like, it's, they're so weird to like start thinking with the way they think everybody's trans. Anyway, U.S. Women's rugby won the bronze today on a last second walk off. What do you call it? Is it, they still call it a touchdown, right?
A try, I think.
A try. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, she got the bronze medal. Fucking suck it, losers. Stop harassing her. All right.
All right. We'll see if they listen. Yeah. Enjoy the rest of the Olympics, everybody. We got the show for you tonight. Producer Matt's with us. This is Weekly Skews. Before we continue, of course, we'll let you know about a couple things. Come see me do stand-up comedy live and in person. The reason I wasn't here last week is because I was doing a show in Hartford, Connecticut. Thanks to everybody that came to that and all the New York and Connecticut shows. They were all, every one of them, fire. So I appreciate y'all. This weekend I'm in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and then Dallas, Texas next weekend, which I believe I will be taping. So Dallas people, nice. Come out, have a good showing, and also be cool. Don't get too hammered. Have a good time. It'll be fun. A lot of dates coming up over the rest of the year and into 2025 going all over. So go to treycrowder.com and check out those upcoming tour dates. Also on treycrowder.com, there's a link to me and Corey's book, Around Here and Over Yonder. It's a funny travel guide. If you like audiobooks, me and Corey read this one in our, you know, appropriately folksy/stupid-sounding fashion. You can check that on Audible. And then lastly, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month. Get 2 full-length bonus episodes per month. We're doing one later this week. Might be talking about Project 2025. We'll see what comes up. But we talk about everything. You know, so much goes on. Can't get to all of it on Skews Day. So we got these outlets for that instead. So get some more Skews in your life and support the show in the process. Now, as for tonight, as Mark said, we're going to be talking about the novel and refreshing approach that Democrats seem to be taking to campaigning lately, specifically talking about how fucking weird all these weirdos are. That's right. Typically, when they go low, we go high. Not anymore. Let's go low, too. I've been saying it for years, begging for it for years. Talk some shit. And they've started.
Kick him in the dick.
Yes, and it seems to be landing. So we'll talk about that and all the myriad ways in which they are, in fact, super weird a little later. But first, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, crypto guys who feared Trump wouldn't let them play with their little moron money anymore. Well, hang on here.
Time with your Bitcoin and your crypto and everything else that you're playing with. Thank you all.
everything else that you're playing with.
Yeah, so Trump spoke at this Bitcoin conference, and Trump used to be super anti-Bitcoin. Do you remember, Trey? He correctly called it a scam. And
no, but I'm not surprised, just because he seems very like, he seems like he'd be a traditionalist about money stuff or whatever. Right. You know what I mean? Plus, he's old as shit, you know. So.
Right. Plus, he hadn't figured a way to get his cut, but the right. crypto guys started a super PAC that raised $200 million to spend on the election, and all of a sudden now he's pro-Bitcoin. But, like, this is one of the most cursed events. Let me read this headline for you coming out of here. Presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy meets Hawk Tuba girl at Nick Carter's karate combat match at a Bitcoin conference.
What a fucking crazy 2024 Mad Lib for y'all. Who could have seen that coming just a few short years, even months ago? Yeah, Hawk Tuba girl. Happy for her success. You know, she's been like co-opted by the right, it seems. Now, did we talk about that on this show? Did that come up before?
No.
But yeah, she keeps popping up at these types of things. She's just going
where they're paying her parents. Right,
I know. Yes. Right, know. Yeah. I'm not holding it against her.
Yeah, it's just the Greenpeace hasn't put up the $30,000 for a show up or whatever it's all it is.
Right.
Yeah. But so Senator Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming spoke there too. She happens to own a bunch of Bitcoin. Ignore that for a second. She's trying to introducing a bill for the U.S. Treasury to buy 1 million Bitcoin worth $68 billion. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of things are deeply fucking hilarious about this. The whole point of crypto. the sales pitch was to escape the prison of fiat currency, right?
Right.
So then, but Bitcoin's volatile and dollars aren't. So you got a bunch of rich fucking Bitcoin douchebags who want to offload their Bitcoin for dollars.
Right.
So they're trying to bail them out of their investment and also juice the price of Bitcoin, which again, Loomis owns. But like, it reminds me that, remember, I used to like always laugh when I'd be up late watching late night TV and there'd be those cash for gold commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately followed by "we'll buy your gold for cash" commercials.
Right.
And I was like, "What? Couldn't you guys just get on the phone and save?" But the sales pitch is always like, the dollar's about to become worthless. You'll want to have gold.
Yeah.
And that was the pitch for Bitcoin. It's like for right. crypto. It's like, the dollar's going to be worthless. You should own Bitcoin. Okay, then why are you fucking selling it?
I mean, a big part of the pitch of it was escaping like the governmental aspect of currency or whatever?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that was a big part of it, right? I mean, I guess that doesn't mean that the government can't just buy its own Bitcoin necessarily, but yeah, it just seems kind of antithetical to their whole purported ethos. Yeah,
the whole reason for existing is because they're fucking neo-reactionary libertarians who want to own their own islands and hunt people for sport and shit. And now they're like, well, we want the U.S. government to back up our currency. It's all very weird. Also, Tyler Winklevoss put out a statement that Kamala Harris snubbing Bitcoin conference won't be forgotten. The industry will show no mercy in November. Sorry, fuck. First off, Tyler Winklevoss, the coolest you ever looked was being played in The Social Network by an actual cannibal.
Yes.
All right. And so I don't really understand what the fuck anybody should care about your opinion. Anyway, the Harris campaign is signaling they want a rapprochement with the crypto bros. So she wants to win. I get it. But like, what the fuck, man? These people are going to all fuck off. An understated thing here is we need to apologize to the rest of the country for is this election is going to turn into sort of an intra-California civil war with like Silicon Valley tech bros versus the Hollywood liberal elite.
Yeah.
And like JD Vance is famously sort of a scion of Silicon Valley, and Kamala's going to be Hollywood's, horse to ride or whatever. And it's like, this is going to get so fucking weird and stupid. Like some big lib donor in Hollywood was like, literally announced that we're going to donate a bunch of money to Kamala because fuck those Silicon Valley psychos.
Right.
And so this is going to be interesting. Well,
I mean, I guess if I'm Team Hollywood, what are you going to do? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. It is going to, I mean, get weird. It already is weird, which is what we're about to talk about. But yeah, there's plenty of time left for shenanigans to ramp significantly up. And I'm sure with the way the world and our culture has been, tracking in recent years, that's exactly what's going to happen. But yeah, stuff's already weird.
Yeah. Ready? Let's get weird. So let's get into it. So, so if they haven't already beaten it to the ground already, every third word out of Democratic politician and lib broadcaster for the last 3 days has been weird since they figured it out. It's like they found a new right. they found a new toy to play with that works, and they're abusing the fuck out of it.
Yes, I am kind of worried about that part of this whole thing a little bit, where it's like, you know, somebody that isn't really all that funny lands a line or a punchline or a joke or something like that, and then they just won't let it go. They just keep repeating it. Like if in the Olympics, right? Like Dwayne Wade, he did that.
He
had a joke about LeBron's pronouns being he, him, meaning like, he's him. This guy is him. Yeah. And then he said that like 8 more times or something. Yeah. It's just like, you just kind of, beat it that you run your own thing into the ground if you don't watch it. So,
yeah, I was expecting that to be a culture war thing the next day, and it didn't happen I guess nobody was watching Team USA, but like, Dwayne Wade famously has a trans daughter, and I thought they were going to like make it turn into something. He's starting his career as a broadcaster. He's trying to have a catchphrase. Anyway, so the libs have their catchphrase now that everybody's weird, and JD Vance is in fucking hell right now, and let's enjoy this brief video clip of Fox News trying to give him an opportunity to explain how not weird he is.
He has a new insult out this week that her and her husband have been using towards you, calling you weird. Does that hurt your feelings? How do you feel about that?
No, not at all. It doesn't hurt my feelings.
He has a new insult out this week.
No, I'm fine. Everything's cool.
Yeah, he practiced that laugh in the mirror for fucking a day and a half for doing that. So this whole thing, like, I feel like I've been gaslit for a decade, because basically what we do on the show is talk about all the stuff that's going on that that mainstream politics pretends not to notice.
Right. Or pretends not to, or they don't acknowledge how insane a lot of it is, how crazy it is. We're all like, is no one noticing that this shit is nuts?
Right. And like, so I feel like I sort of feel vindicated, but also like, I mean, where the fuck have you guys been? Like, I remember I went back and searched. I remember tweeting in like 2017, is anybody going to do anything about this QAnon shit? And then 3 years later, they're storming the Capitol. No one noticed what happened in between. And so you guys can go back and listen to our episodes leading up to January 6th. We were talking about how it was going to be a thing and nobody, how did we know about it? And nobody in DC did. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's very fucking weird. And now they finally noticed all these people want to do things like look at children's genitals so they can play T-ball.
Right.
And I'm like, thank God you guys fucking noticed. But like, holy shit, why'd you waste so much time getting here?
I think it's part of that. I think it's related to that whole thing, that, you know, long-held philosophy of, like I said, oh, we take the high road or whatever. And I think an element of that was also them acting like, or an adjacent thing that's going on there is that they – it's like they were all acting like, oh, what the, you know, they're not that crazy. Or, you know, they would like January, they wouldn't do something like that. Like there's this like assumption that they're, you know, fundamentally these are reasonable people at the end of the day and we'll all play by the same rules, which has just not been true for so long. But it's like they wouldn't allow themselves to believe that it wasn't true or something.
That's also part of it. But also it's like when you talk about taking the high road, you're trying to stay colloquial with like other politicians you run into in the green room, but also standing up for marginalized, downtrodden people who are being bullied by national politicians is also taking the high road to me, and also more noble to me than making sure you can shake JD Vance's hand at a fundraiser.
Right.
And so like, I'm just, anyway, so before, like, I wanted to just say this off the top, like, this is not theater versus substance. This is substance. Like what makes it compelling, it is about substance in a visceral way, right? The reality is there's too much like weird racist pervert stuff to call out on an individual basis. So you just adopt this framing that these people are all such weird fucking freaks. You don't have to engage with the dumb shit they're saying. And that you don't have to address every single misogynistic, hateful, anti-gay, anti-trans social media post by the other side because you've established a framework with which you just don't fucking negotiate on this shit or act like or debate them about it. There's just so much of this shit. You can't get it all in one ad or in one fucking book. Like I was prepping the show and trying to pick what weird stuff to bring up, and we're gonna go through it in a little bit. We're gonna do like a speed run of headlines that just came out about JD in the last week that wouldn't be enough to get through the general public's heads if the election lasted 6 years instead of four. And thank God we only got a 100-day election cycle this time. This time, right. Kinda. We should do it this way every time. By the way,
I know. Well, that was the thing too. It's like during the whole debate on the left about Biden, Willie, won't he, whatever. And a lot of people saying like, we just can't do it. One of their arguments was like, there's just no time. There is no time for this. But like, and I hadn't even realized this. So I saw other people online pointing it out, but like almost every other major Western democracy does not operate the way that we do when it comes to election cycle. Our election cycles are more than a year long or whatever. Sometimes it feels like with Trump, it feels like it's just never ended with him since he showed up. But in like Europe, they have laws some of the countries have laws where like you can't campaign or do anything before like 90 days before or whatever the case may be. But we're talking about a couple, 3 months or something. And it's just, that would just be way better. There's no reason for us to be so extra with all this shit. And also, way less money would get spent on it too. So
you also have more time to focus on governing, and the main your main argument for getting elected should be how you fucking govern,
right?
Right. So anyway, like there's just like there's so much of this shit. Like the weird stuff is also a good lens to see Project 2025 through, because a lot of it's very fucking like you want to privatize the weather, sir. Like it's weird, right? So for example, like Arizona's primaries are tonight, I think, in the Arizona 8th. There's like 8 candidates running for Congress. 3 of them, one of them's a QAnon shaman, all right? One is a guy mostly known for going on a pro-Hitler radio show. And another one is a guy who tried to pay an employee $5 million if he'd let him impregnate her, all right? Do you want to spend time arguing with all 3 of those guys? You just call them weird freaks and move on with your life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like for me, the like part of why I think this is being effective, in my opinion, but also part of why I don't think that it's like hypocritical or nothing either. Cause I've seen some people point out to me, like, I thought they were about inclusivity and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Using weird as a pejorative, you know, keep Portland weird, keep Austin weird, whatever. You guys are supposed to love weird shit. Okay. Well, here I'm going to ramble for a second, but hopefully it'll make sense in a minute. I love gay people, super big ally, have been my whole life. Okay. I feel like I've proven that time and again at this point, but like you said, sometimes you make fun of Lindsey Graham for looking or seeming gay or being, you know, and it's like the reason why that's different is because he is, you know, openly homophobic. He like rails against gay people. So to like call him gay, even though I would never call somebody else gay in a like negative fashion, but with Lindsey Graham, the context is different. Same thing with like a bunch of alpha male dude bros with their shirts off, all oiled up, playing, you know, whatever. And like homophobes, and you say, that's pretty gay, bro. It's it ain't the same. It works differently. And I feel the same way about this. And I also think that's why that shit is effective, is because they spend so much of their time demonizing everything that they think is weird, which is just any non, you know, straight white Christian coded person. Like, they hate weird stuff. So pointing out rightfully to them, it's like, your shit is weird, right? Like, you know, it eats at them is what I'm saying. Like, you know that it bothers them. And it's also, it isn't hypocritical because context matters. So yeah, the whole thing is just,
well, so conservative politics are inherently like supremacist, right?
Right.
Baked into the idea of supremacy is the idea that we're the normal ones who should have authority.
Yeah.
So when you point out that they actually are weird freaks who fucking suck, it undercuts the premise of their whole project. Right.
Yes,
so like,
exactly.
It's like, yeah. I'm normal. I have a wife and two kids and a Labrador retriever. And it's like, and you're gay. It's like, okay, but you also are deeply concerned with children's genitals. And that's fucking weird. And I mind my own business. I'm living my life. Why are you obsessed with fucking me? You're like, that's what's going on here.
Yes.
But again, like Lindsey Graham, none of us have any idea whether or not his sexuality or whatever, but it's like, it's not the fact that he's hypothetically gay that's weird. It's that he's a Republican that's fucking weird.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's that he's so mean about it that's fucking weird. So, like, let's talk about how we got here for a second, because it involves a fun topic called couch fucking. Mm-hmm. All right. So, 2 weeks ago, it's important this was 2 weeks ago for reasons that we'll get to in a second. A guy on X, Twitter, by the name of Rick, whose handle is Rick Rude's Cabs, posted, can't say for sure, but he might be the first VP pick to have admitted in a New York Times bestseller to fucking an inside-out latex glove shoved between two couch cushions. Then it gives like an MLA-type citation, Vance, comma, Hillbilly Elegy, pages 179 to 181.
Yes.
All right. So I saw this 2 weeks ago, and we're about to talk about JD as the vice presidential pick. And I don't have the book.
Right.
So I texted you, do you have the book? And you go, yeah. Like, can you go look at pages 179 to 181 to see if he fucked an inside-out latex glove between the cushions of the couch?
Yeah.
And you said
that, no, it was not written, at least on those pages. Also, fuck you, Mark, for making me read this book again, even in this amount, read these three pages. But yeah, the cited pages, it's just talking about him going to Ohio State and arriving at Ohio and his like experience at Ohio State. And no point does a couch even get brought up, you know, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but that didn't stop anybody from running with it.
it's not in the book. And I didn't bring it up on the show because I didn't want to, I don't like, I'm arrogant enough. I don't like being factually wrong.
Right.
And I didn't want to do misinformation. So like, but people, nobody posting about it, making memes about it, thought it was real. They're just having fun, making fun of a fucking weirdo because he feels like a weird guy. It's just a fun thing to say about a weird guy.
Yes, it's great. Yeah. Right. Again, it's like there's been a whole thing with them. It's like, look at them. Always talking about misinformation, election interference, and spreading misinformation. Look what they're doing here. And it's like, bro, it's just funny to call him a couch fucker. Like you said, 90%+ of the people sharing it didn't even think it was real. It's just, it's funny. It's a funny thing to say, to like rib somebody with, you know, is to keep calling them couch fucker, especially when you find out that they don't like being called a couch fucker and get very defensive about it. That's the surest way to ensure that people are going to keep calling you a couch fucker, you know, so.
Right. So, but in like the week and a half between me seeing it and becoming a thing, it apparently took over TikTok. Like people were making like videos of like JD Vance staring longingly at couches to like slow jams and shit. Okay. then it just spread all over the internet. And I got a normie buddy who's not really online texting me from Texas being like, what's this deal with JD Vance fucking a couch? And I had to let him down, like break his heart and tell him it wasn't real.
Yeah.
But it's just like weird, like, because they Fox News, this whole thing where they're blaming the Democrats for doing this, but the Democrats had nothing to do with it. This was like organic, like shitposting.
Internet trolling. Yeah, right. Yes, shitposting. Yeah, the type of shit the internet does all the time to everybody.
Right. And they were doing it to Biden before this, because TikTok was all Biden's fucking old memes.
Right.
So, like, now Biden is actually factually old, so it's a little bit different. But, like, but, But but this graph fucking killed me. Here's a couch search interest, a graph of Google Googling JD fans like having sex on the couch over time. Look at that. We manifested into reality. This is the most successful random crowdsourced PSYOP of all time. I don't even know how they did it, but it's deeply fucking hilarious to the point that the mainstream media had to do stuff about it because everyone was talking about it. The AP posted this story and had to delete it. Listen to this headline. No, JD Vance did not have sex on the couch. They deleted it with a note that said it did not live up to our editorial standards. Because you cannot say that J.D. Vance did not have sex with a couch. You can say it doesn't say in his book he had sex with a couch.
He did not claim to have sex with a couch. But yes, you cannot factually state he did not have sex with a couch. I mean, look, listen, sorry. But as a former teenage boy, I'm just saying it's not that far out of the realm of possibility.
It would not be weird if he had sex with a couch.
Exactly. Boys would just, you know, you get boners anywhere. You start gyrating, whatever. Next thing you know, you fuck the couch cushion. I'm just saying. It just happens, guys. So, I mean, so I feel like the odds are pretty good. He probably has fucked the couch, but you know.
Especially like our generation, all of our moms worked. We were latchkey kids, left home alone a lot. And that was before there was
Xena Warrior Princess was airing in syndication.
Yes. So like the sheer number of things in our houses we had said, like if he had fucked the couch, it would have been the most normal thing about him.
Right? That's hilarious because that's very true. That's a good point.
But it reminded me of like this old, like maybe apocryphal story about LBJ when he was running those early campaigns in Texas where the campaign was too close for his comfort. And he tried to get his campaign manager to start a rumor that his opponent had had sex with pigs. And his campaign manager said, "Christ, we can't get away with calling him a pig fucker. No one's going to believe a thing like that." And LBJ said, "I know, but let's make the son of a bitch deny it."
Yeah, all right.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold. Some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions
apply. So J.D. Vance has so far been smart enough to not deny having sex with the couch, but Fox News is doing it for him. Watch Jesse Waters right here.
And after Russia, COVID, and the Biden cover-up, America's seasoned vets by now. We don't buy the hoaxes and believe the hype anymore. Our eyes are wide open.
Oh my God.
And if you're going to accuse someone of having sex with a couch, you better have video.
And you better send it to me, all right? When I get off work later.
Please send me a video of 13-year-old J.D. Vance having sex with stuff, please, to my personal email address. Jesus fucking Christ. So,
dude, everything about that, though, just the whole – and I mean, I know this is all they do. They do it all the time. But, like, just the level of projection and the lack of self-awareness and everything. Talking about, he says Americans, but he means conservatives. He means Republicans. Mm-hmm. He's like him talking about how – we don't buy into hoaxes. We don't buy into bullshit. Our eyes are wide open. And it's like, that's all y'all do is believe bullshit. You know what I mean? Like the big hoax that the election was stolen. Then COVID, a very real disease that killed millions of people. That was a hoax, according to you. It's just like, y'all are the worst people at knowing what is and is not a hoax.
Yeah.
On planet Earth.
I'm sure it'll come up again because they're starting hearings about the Trump assassination attempt. But like they tried to start a second Trump shooter thing a couple weeks ago. Like there was a second deeply funny conspiracy theory. There's a second Trump shooter put up by the deep state who also missed, then stopped shooting for some reason.
Okay. Real quick, just because you brought it up, Mark, because it made me think I'd seen a lot of it. I just want your quick opinion on it. Where you at on the whole thing with like Trump's ear and everything? You seeing all that, like that gained traction? Because he got photographed with his ear uncovered, and there's like you zoom in and there's absolutely nothing on it at all. So a lot of people on the left and stuff are being like, I'm just saying, don't look like you fucking got shot to me or whatever. I've seen people post like, this is where I clipped my ear while shaving my head a month ago. And you can clearly see a scab. People are like drawing red circles around scabs on ears and stuff, and building a timeline and everything. What do you think about that particular aspect of the whole deal?
I'm stretching my brain to try to understand why it matters.
Exactly. I know some people. It's like, so what? Like what? I don't get why that part matters either.
I know there's certain people who think he staged it, which means that this 20 year old kid just volunteered to die for no reason to miss. I don't really understand. Anyway, so like, but like, I think it was funny. Some MAGA guys tried to recreate shooting an ear with an AR-15 to prove he got shot in the ear, and they blew the ear clean the fuck off. He used one of those one of those human flesh like dummies or whatever, and there's just slow motion footage. I think probably if I had to guess what happened is it hits something else, and he got nicked by a ricochet or some debris or something. But we all saw the blood. Unless you think he used fucking blood pack, it's just like you're going to end up sounding like them if you dig too far.
That's what I think too. Yeah.
So about over the same few days where the couch fucker thing was in the sub news till the AP made it the news, JD Austin, some old stories about JD resurfaced combined with some new stuff. It's been a talking point for his for a few years. Basically, America's being destroyed by childless women. That like were being dragged down by childless cat ladies. And he talked about how people like Kamala and Pete Buttigieg don't care about the future of America because they don't have kids. Well, Kamala has stepkids and Buttigieg has adopted kids. And you've got to end up some weird fucking shitty places to think they don't care about their kids.
Bro, also, from my perspective, as someone who does have kids, I feel like one of the biggest problems in America right now, if you're restricting it only to women, it's the Nancy Grace type super helicopter mom Karens that want to like dictate what schools are allowed to, you know, what parts of history they're allowed to cover, what books they're allowed to teach and all this stuff because they're so worried about their kids and all that. That feels like a way bigger problem to me, speaking as a parent than, you know, childless cat ladies, whatever. Also I love cats. So anyway,
and if you're wondering how electorally stupid it is when like JD Vance isn't talking to other psychotic right wingers who think the only purpose in life is to breed children for God's army or whatever. Almost half of women in the United States don't have children. About 13% are step parents like Kamala, and 46 million U.S. households own cats. So he really fucking stepped in a hornet's nest there, but not that anyone would ever tell him that because he doesn't know how to talk to regular people because he's exclusively been talking to right-wing psychos for fucking half a decade. All right. And then he said this weird shit, which should be disqualifying for any sane person if you hit this man.
Let's give votes to all children in this country, but let's give control over those votes to the parents of those children. When you go to the polls in this country as a parent, you should have more power, you should have more of an ability to speak your voice in our democratic republic than people who don't have kids. Let's face the consequences and the...
So, face the consequences for not having kids. Okay, so, I don't have kids. I still think I should be able to vote. But also, like, under this voting, the way people treat their kids nowadays, like, they're their property. Like, the kids can't make any sort of decisions on their own.
Right.
Or can't read things they don't approve of. Or, you know, or this kind of thing. It's like, can't walk to school alone. Like, the idea, like, we're basically gone from only landowners can vote to only people owners can vote. And, like, I find this fucking deeply weird. Also, just let the kids vote if you want the kids vote. But, like, the idea, like, first of all, where does this end? Like, so, like, Elon gets 13 votes for how many fucking kids he has by 27 different women. Donald Trump's basically mentally an invalid. Trump Jr. is basically mentally an invalid. Does Trump still get his vote? And so it's like that fertility doctor who knocked up like 100 women with his own jizz. Does he get like
the voting power? Election. Yeah.
Right. Does he get like 30 electoral votes?
Yeah. So, I mean, his rationale for this, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, is like in his crazy right wing mind, he's like people that don't have kids, they have no stake in the future. So they should have no say on what the future of this country looks like, right? And it's, again, kind of like analogous to what I was saying earlier. I feel like the much bigger problem is like super rich, wealthy, old right-wing people who don't have any stake in the future. Some of them even have kids, but can't stand their kids. Like, I don't know, Donald Trump or whatever, but people that are not going to be around for the consequences of their, you know, their political actions, like making policies for people that are going to have to deal with it later after they're long dead and gone, you know, and that feels like a bigger problem to me than just people who opted not to have children.
Right. But also it's just like, we're democracy and that stuff we have to figure out because people have rights and everybody gets to fucking vote. You just got to, J.D. Vance gets to fucking deal with it. But so those things were all happened. Then Tim Walz went on TV, and as far as I know, it was spontaneous, or he did it on his own. It goes to the governor of Minnesota, VP candidate, and he said this, and sort of crystallize it.
Sorry. Do not like what has happened where we can't even go to Thanksgiving dinner with our uncle because you end up in some weird fight that is unnecessary. and I think bringing back people together, well, it's true. These guys are just weird. And it is. You know, they're running for He-Man Women Haters Club or something. That's what they go at. That's not what people are interested in.
Bro, preach, man. This feels like a very effective message to me because I feel like anybody on either side should be is like – it feels this because it's like, as somebody from Salina, Tennessee, I mean, I've lamented for years and ever since, it's like growing up there, being it was still mostly red, obviously. And I was, you know, me and my family were blue sheep and all that stuff, but it just wasn't like this back then. You could go to Thanksgiving dinner and not have to worry about getting casserole hurled at you or whatever, or leaving in tears. You know, and it's like, that's just not good culturally for this country that has happened. So I feel like this is a good, you know, a good argument to make. Like, let's just stop worrying about all this completely, ultimately irrelevant and unnecessary weird shit y'all are obsessed with and just, you know, talk about fucking, I don't know, whatever the weather or something.
Right. And it's like he went on, like this, he used this line in quite a few interviews or something similar to it and talked about how, like, all we want to do is we want to build schools, build hospitals, build roads, and not deal with all this weird bullshit. We don't want to talk about it. Look out for your neighbors. Stop being weird. There's another quote here. They see the least fortunate among us as punchlines. We see them as neighbors. And, like, I just want to say, of all the VP candidates, he's my favorite. Former high school teacher. Defensive coordinator for a fucking a state championship high school team while also sponsoring the Gay Straight Alliance for his high school in the 90s when that was still a risky thing to do. Flipped a red district, passed universal school lunch, expanded healthcare, all this shit. Like, it's, I know vice presidents don't matter electorally usually, but as far as a statement about who you believe the next president, the person that has a chance to be the next president should be, I firmly believe Tim Walz is the best choice. Okay, we'll come back to that after they don't pick him.
I had been a Mark Kelly guy. I like Mark Kelly, but I at least like all the candidates, and I didn't. And I mean, Walz, he seems pretty awesome. I mean, you kind of sold him. I definitely would be on board with that. It was just like, I just feel like there is no more red blooded all American archetype than a fucking, like, you know, fighter pilot astronaut. You know, who it just felt to me like, what could they possibly say about that guy? But dude, I mean, they'd be talking shit about the moon in no time if she did pick him. So, I mean,
well,
they'll find a way regardless.
He switched. I'm glad he did, because I'm fine with flip flopping as long as you go over to the right side. But he was against, he's been kind of an anti-union guy, and he flipped for the sake of trying to become a vice president. And also, like, he doesn't have executive experience, but also, like, that would throw his Senate seat to a special election. Where they might lose.
Well, so I thought that in Arizona, the way that works is it gets appointed, like the governor, who is a Democrat, would appoint his initial replacement, and then
it'll be next fall or whatever the next election cycle is. So he has the power of incumbency. I just think it's a bad decision, considering if you want to have any hope of holding on to the Senate, because that's what you need to actually fucking pass bills and, like, you know, vote in, swear in judges. And yeah, he's an astronaut. That's cool. Let's just pretend Tim Walz is an astronaut. to be fair, like, I don't know if, like, Kamala herself, she was asked back. Remember in 2016 when Trump sort of lingered behind Hillary and followed her around the stage, and she was talking about how Hillary handled that poorly, or she was asked how she would handle it better, and she's just like, I would just turn to him and be like, why are you being so fucking weird? And I'm like, yep, that's basically how you deal with that. So I don't want to give him full credit for coming up with it. So, but, like, one of the reasons I think that the couch fucking thing caught on, the weird thing caught on, is, like, JD feels weird. right? I know you met him and he probably was nice interpersonally, right? You said you had a beer with him back before he was insane.
Yeah, he was pretty, I mean, like I said, he was mostly, it's like I say, every time this comes up, it's like, it's not like I was like, dude, this guy's fucking rad. It wasn't like that. He was just like, he was pretty like milk toast, really. You know what I mean? Just seemed like, he didn't seem like a fucking lunatic, no, at all. He just seemed like a pretty regular guy when I hung out with him. But I mean, he was saying a bunch of very different shit back then too. And I don't know if you saw that New York Times article that came out over the weekend about his one of his best friends from college who is trans, and and they were talking about the same type of thing, except they know him way, way better, and about how like he did not at all used to be this, but like when they knew him back then was not this guy, and how they're, you know, stunned at his progression or regression, I guess.
Yeah, but that was pretty throwing your fucking one of your best friends from college under a bus for your political ambitions is fucking dark, man. And like basically like they would debate politics in a fun way over email for a long time, and then when he came out in support of some anti-trans laws, she emailed him like, hey man, what the fuck, and he basically cut her out of his life. So let me read here. So I want to talk about like symbolic reasons the couch fucker thing stuck, even though it's not literally true and everyone knows it's not literally true. Business Insider got an interview with Rick Rude's Cavs, the guy who made the original post, and he said some really insightful shit that I think he should replace the entire Democratic consultant class.
Yeah, this was funny because it's like when I first read like Business Insider, you know, they secured an exclusive interview with Rick Rude's Cavs or whatever. Uh-huh. In my head, I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, we really are in a really wild and pretty dumb place. But I agree with you. You read some of his like quotes from it or whatever, and it's like, this guy's pretty pretty astute, actually.
He is mildly concerned that he's now viewed as peddling election misinformation, which he said was not his intent. He posted what he posted, he said, because he sees in Vance an ineffable quality he believes is best approximated with the moniker, quote, couch fucker.
It's such a great way of putting that.
Perhaps, Rick said, whether Vance actually had carnal knowledge of one or more couches is immaterial. Rick suggested Vance making love to a couch may best be viewed as what Werner Herzog has described as the ecstatic truth, in Herzog's words, a kind of truth that is the enemy of the merely factual, encompassing falsehoods that make some essence of the man visible. I was like, yeah, give this guy $1 million to make a campaign ad. He fucking understands. It's about vibes, man. Some things just feel, this guy feels
he
like
feels
a weird
like
pervert.
A couch fucker. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, obviously the guy was right because it just caught on like wildfire. You know, it's like, he does seem like a couch fucker.
Yeah. So, and there's so much to work with about, like, again, these are all the stories you'll never be able to get to in the JD's weird universe or their weird universe. This is all just about JD for these purposes, though. A clip surfaced of him saying that women should stay in violent marriages for the sake of their kids because, you know, they want to fucking end at-will divorce. Quote, it's a headline here, JD Vance wrote book blurb for Jack Posobiec, far-right influencer of Pizzagate fame. J.D. Vance once called Richard Hanania, a racist blogger who used to write for a white supremacist sites under a pseudonym, a friend and a really interesting thinker on a YouTube show. J.D. Vance spent 9/11/2021, yes, the 20th anniversary of 9/11, at a gun show that showed framed Nazi regalia. And there are pictures. In private speech, J.D. Vance said the devil is real and praised Alex Jones, the truth teller. This is probably my personal favorite. J.D. Vance has a burnt monkey testicle problem. here's where the weird framing comes in, I think, because what's that about? It's about something evil, which he's heavily invested in some like companies that do extremely cruel animal testing.
Right.
But the way the headline gets framed is about monkey testicles, because that feels weirder.
Right.
Right. It gets clicks. Here's one that sort of felt unfair to me. JD Vance ridiculed after dolphin-based social media post backfires. So what he did was that, I don't know why a U.S. senator is posting this way, but back in February, he had come across a video of, you know, one of those viral videos we all drop in group chats where like a woman had hopped up on a dock and was like humping a woman who was laughing about it.
I've 100% seen that video. I know for a fact I have. Yeah.
And I guess
dolphins,
he wanted,
they do that, but anyway, go ahead.
So he'd find it later to tweet and say he tried to show it. He had showed it to his kids and they were laughing about it or whatever. But when you search on Twitter, if you screen grab before like you refresh or whatever, it shows the keywords you searched for. So it said woman dolphin. We were in bold, right?
Uh-huh.
So everyone was making fun of him for looking for dolphin porn on right. Twitter, which is not what he was doing, but that's how everyone sees everything he fucking does now.
Yeah.
All right. So it's just like, if you want to win an election, it feels inbounds to me. And but first of all, it's not the Kamala campaign doing it. It's just people on the fucking internet who are making memes. Like these people, like these media outlets like Huffington Post, who I just was talking about, have been making stories out of tweets for half a decade
right.
to make leftists look like morons. Let's use it to our advantage now. Right. So I talked a little bit at the top about why I think it's working, because, you know, Republicans represent supremacy and making fun of them is being weird, sort of a threat to that sort of view of things. And the thing about that is Dems sort of reflexively buy into that framing usually, mm-hmm. right? They say we're the normal ones. We have like, we support law and order and the troops and we love our wives and kids. So Dems will like, you know, that's why we all run veterans and CIA operatives for office, because we want to like preempt the charges that run patriotic, right?
Right.
So they won't say we hate America and whoever the insert enemy of the moment is. I guess, fuck, considering today's news, it might be Lebanon. And they also like love ring prosecutors to like preempt the attacks that they love criminals or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like for my entire life, Dems have been passive campaigners, like easily drawn into the Republican framing of issues. And that's what's cool about the weird thing. It's like, no, fuck off, right? It's always been a sucker's game, but to get into arguments over where exactly means testing should begin rather than just rejecting it altogether, mm-hmm. stuff like that. You can't engage people on their terms. When they say, let them dictate the conversation. So like this is extremely useful because they say some weird shit to try to get you in a debate over whether like trans people should be able to poop. You go, right. No, fuck off. I'm not going to get into that with you. Just fuck you. You're weird. Right. And I just find that like, I just like, it's refreshing to see it. And I, like, oh, this is what actually campaigning looks like. It's fucking interesting. Other than just always being like, our opponents will take the low road, vote for me. And like, I just mm-hmm. won't ever say anything, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So just to talk about how they're responding to it, because it's deeply funny because they have no idea what to do when they're seen as the weirdos. Again, because of the whole supremacist thing. Marco Rubio today was asked about it, and he said, they called us weird. They talked about how he, let me quote here. They called us weird, so I'll call them weirder. That's what I used to do back in high school. Mm-hmm. I bet that worked, Marco.
That's what I was about to say. I bet he was crushing in high school with that tactic. The whole rubber and glue approach. Like, yeah, well, you're weird. And it was like a smooth move, Marco. But I mean, I like it, you reading that just reminded me of one of the Hillary Trump debates where she called him a puppet. And he just goes, no puppet, no puppet. You're the puppet. She's the puppet. I'm not a puppet. And so, you know, that right. is probably what they'll do.
They're deeply charmless as part of this too. Right. I know right. Trump has his charms to some people, but like they don't have like, they're dim witted. That's why yes. they fucking think this shit. So right. make them use their wits and they just don't have them. Right. So like that's them trying to be funny. Right. Like, again, you can tell they weren't actually bullied that much in high school because none of them got funny. They all had rich dads. Mm-hmm. All right. So like another way to approach this is try to defend it on the substance. Oh, you think JD's, you know, weird for being a misogynist? Well, I'll just defend misogyny. Here's a guy on the Daily Wire, which is Ben Shapiro's podcast network, a podcast network which also hosts Ted Cruz's podcast. He went a long rant about it's correct to be misogynist because women can't take care of themselves. The quote here is a guy named Andrew Clavin. The central purpose of every society is to figure out the distribution of women because women are valuable.
The distribution of women.
We're yeah. not weird. It's perfectly normal for the government to be in charge of distributing women.
Deploying women. Yeah. It's also, I feel like that there's an incel flavor to that too. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Like it appeals to incel. The idea that's like, you know, we'll just send you one. We'll mail you a yeah. woman. She won't be able to say no. It won't be up mm-hmm. to her. We'll make sure that all you guys get a woman, as you, of course, deserve for being a nice guy and everything. And we'll take her agency completely out of it. And all the red pill dudes are like, this guy's spitting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's also like, so Vivek Ramaswamy got on Twitter, and I want to read this, and I'll take it, let's do piece by piece for a second here, because like he said this. This whole they're weird argument from the Democrats is dumb and juvenile. Okay, well, yes, because people are having fun. It's actually mm-hmm. fun right now, and I'm sorry for you. All right, he goes on to say, this is a presidential election, not a high school prom queen contest. It's also, presidential elections are a popularity contest, so that's incorrect as well. It's also a tad ironic coming from the party that preaches, quote, diversity and inclusion. Win on policy if you can, but cut the crap, please. Okay. These are the same people who have been calling everyone who disagrees with them pedophiles for fucking half a decade.
I know. It's just what we were saying earlier, like the projection and the hypocrisy and the complete lack of self-awareness. Like, when on policy, if y'all don't have no policy. Like, it's literally nothing but culture war bullshit, just pointing and saying, that's bad, she's bad, that's bad, kick them out of here. You know, they don't even have policies. They have nothing but the crap. Like, they can't cut the crap. They are crap.
They have policies. They just don't want to talk about them.
Right. Because they don't hit for people.
Right.
Well, yes. So right. That, yes. They definitely have aims. But, you know, they have their goals and stuff that are very dangerous. But yeah, but they don't run on those because people don't want to hear that shit. And they know it.
So let's take Vivek at his word. Let's talk about their policies, for example. How about this one? Here's a headline for you. J.D. Vance, menstrual surveillance hawk. This is about this spring, the Department of Health and Human Services changed regulations under HIPAA to limit law enforcement access to medical records tied to reproductive health, so red states wouldn't be able to like track women crossing state borders to get health care. So only like 28 members of Congress wrote to Javier Becerra, the HHS secretary, opposing this, trying to get him to withdraw it. Vance was only one of 8 Republican senators willing to go this hard for menstrual surveillance. All right. He really fucking believes in this shit, and it's weird. It's fucking weird to want the government to track women's fucking periods. Yeah. All right?
Of course. And also to check, as you've already referenced a couple of times, but like they want to like check the genitals of minors, like school children and stuff, to make sure that they're allowed to swim in this race or whatever. But I mean, either way, fuck that. Putting the rationale aside, it's like you want to inspect 13-year-old genitals, as I like, right, you know, a policy point.
And by the way,
and yes, and track women's menstrual cycles and all this, and it's just insane in the name of freedom, you know.
And most of this just serves to harass women, girls like Alana Maher, who talked about earlier, who just like athletic. Like, when you see a story talking about a parent trying to get a kid inspected for being trans, they're almost never remote. They're just tomboys who are good at fucking sports and they're kicking their daughter's ass. Right. They just don't want their daughter to lose. And like to empower these psychos by making them feel elevated and making them feel like they're not weird is fucking weird. There's a story popping off in right wing media right now where a couple of like women in the Olympics this year, the Olympics stupidly started doing hormone testing to try to combat, like, of course you want to test for steroids and shit, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of people who are born biologically women by conservative standards have elevated testosterone levels, which in an athletic sense used to be called talent.
Yeah, right.
It's like saying.
Also, it can just go. I mean, like exercising real hard and being in shape and stuff can just like naturally incite your body to produce more testosterone, right? I mean, whether you're a woman or a man, like it's part of how it works.
Sure, but these are all these athletes are in shape. They had high T even for women for athletes. So they're trying to make out like there's a couple of women boxers who tested for high IT shouldn't be allowed to compete because they're biological men when they're women who have high testosterone levels, which is like complaining that Shaquille O'Neal shouldn't be able to play in the Olympics because he's tall.
Yeah, too tall.
It's part of his biological talent, and so like it's just fucking. I just. These people annoy me so much. You can't appreciate anything for what it is. And so going back to the J.D. Vance's menstrual surveillance, this surfaced, which is both misogynistic and racist and just fucking really tone deaf. Here's audio of him on a podcast by us. He goes on so many psychotic podcasts. I'll try to contextualize this for you in a second.
Okay, look, here's a situation. Let's say Roe versus Wade is overruled. Ohio bans abortion. You know, in 2022 or 2000, let's say 2024. And then, you know, every day George Soros sends a 747 to Columbus load up disproportionately black women to get them to go have abortions in California. And of course the left will celebrate this as a victory for diversity. That's kind of creepy,
health justice. These are we exterminate class black people.
Something like that could, I mean, that would be a really equity. Weird term.
Fuck this guy so hard. So he's on that podcast is hosted by a woman named Amy Tyreese, who's purely like an Australian psycho, like culture war podcaster. Why in the hell he's going? Forget the substance of his character and his politics for a second. He's also just stupid. If you have actual ambitions for higher office, you shouldn't be going on these podcasts because this is the kind of shit they talk about. So if you need another reason to vote against him, he's a fucking moron. All right. I was reading, there's a new book out now. It's called The Quiet Damage. It's about like people losing their family members to QAnon. And I think part of this backlash, like, it feels like a fever's breaking in a lot of ways. If these guys can be beaten back at this moment, it feels like most sane people have just moved on from this shit. And I feel like a lot of it is a backlash to QAnon. Because, like, one of the numbers they talk about in the book, according to survey data, 30 million Americans believe the secret satanic cabal runs the world. All right. That's basically 1 in 11 Americans. Right. All of us know these people or see their posts on Facebook because we went to high school with them. Mm-hmm. And we're so fucking sick of this dumb bullshit. Like, anybody, you want to call everybody a pedophile? Fuck off. You're weird. You want to, like, talk, like, see Satan behind every corner? Fuck off. You're weird. Right. And also, one thing I like about this, what weird is better than scary, all right? Because, like, we've all lived in fear of these people for so long. I think we need to see them for the weak-ass schoolyard bullies that they are. Like, these people are freaks and no one really likes them. And once people know that about a bully, he loses power. That's a climax to every fucking kid's movie, is everyone walks away from the bully when they realize he's a loser.
Right.
And I just think there's, like, people crave normalcy, right? They want elected officials who are recognizable as human beings, who with normal human interests and emotions, they want to be able to go entire days without thinking about the fucking president.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, that was a huge part of Joe Biden's appeal, I feel like, was that just, yeah, like, you go days without even thinking about, whereas with Trump, it's every single day, whether he's the damn president or not, but especially if he's the president. Yeah. And people are sick of it.
But this is the weird thing is just trying to not like we talked about before about Joe Biden's appeal that he was normal. It's just, I'm normal. But like, you're trying to create a normal movement to resist Trumpism as a movement, as opposed to one normal guy to be back one freak guy.
Yeah.
And I think this is an effective way to do it. I also just think people are just tired of being afraid and they want to feel enthusiastic. They want to feel hope. And if this is a data point for anybody, when we got on, there was a Kamala Harris rally going on in Georgia at a packed out fucking arena where everybody was swag surfing. And Megan Thee Stallion gave the open for her, sang a couple songs, and she was quoting Quavo lyrics. It was fucking cool.
Now, you said enthusiasm, hope. You know, there's been a little bit of that in the past, you know, week plus. It's been wild. You know, I definitely had some trepidation about, you and I were both on the side of thinking Joe Biden should step down. But I still, there was definitely part of me, it's like, look, but they got to get it right after that. And I'm worried about their capacity to do so. But the fact that it's, you know, pretty much it's gone pretty damn well. And it has served as like the shot in the arm that the party and the entire American left needed so far. Again, we were talking earlier before we went on the air. We're like, a lot of time left, plenty of time for them to fuck stuff up. But so far it's off to a great, you know, start though. And people are definitely feel there is like a general sense of like optimism, I feel like, which is,
and it's sorely needed. It's not even like, Kamala's the face of it right now, but it's also like a reaction to not doing like savior politics. You know what I'm saying? Like even the slogan they were chanting again, like we are not going back. It's we. It's we as Americans. It's not like they could have, like, it's enthusiasm for moving forward. And just Joe Biden, for his reasons that are and aren't his fault, was an avatar for the opposite of that. And that's basically the beginning end of it. And I like last week you were on the show, but I ate shit saying I was wrong for thinking this wouldn't work out, because it's obviously like just the enthusiasm gap. We're not going to get into polling for a little while, but it looks pretty good so far from what's out there. It's just too soon to tell much. It's still going to be a squeaker of an election. They still have electoral college problems because it's like, you know, it's always slanted against the whatever left wing candidates on the ballot. But it's like that's what the, you know, you got to play it as it lies. And that's what the battlefield is. So,
yep.
Everybody's getting to work.
It's going to be interesting, and it feels interesting in at least a somewhat more positive fashion now than it did, you know, a couple weeks ago even. So we'll see what happens. Thank you guys for watching. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Come see me on the road, please. It's a lot of fun. Check out me and Corey's book on there, Around Here and Over Yonder. And go to WeeklySkews.com/more or go on Patreon and search for my name to sign up for our Patreon to get 2 bonus episodes a month for only $5. Get some more skews in your life. But you keep watching these here iterations every skews day, then we'll keep coming back. See you next time. Love you. Bye.
Everybody go fuck a couch. Skew!
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year, and we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.